would, just bow your heads. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. God, we need you. And we thank you, Lord, that you've always been there for us. Your word says you'll never leave us or forsake us. You'll be with us until the end of the age. If God be for us, who can be against us? We stand on your word now, Lord. We thank you. Speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, Lord. It illuminates the way, God, as we try our best, even as we reflect on last week. God, all the things that transpired, bless you. God, we are trying our best to navigate through a fallen, broken world. Why do things happen? Why do things go wrong? Why do things fall apart? Because we live in a fallen world, bottom line, period. So, God, we're trying our best to navigate through. And we thank you for your word, Lord, that has given us the blueprint, how to live, how to think, how to love, how to forgive, how to give, how to navigate. God, you left nothing unanswered, and we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, teach us now through your word. We open our hearts and our minds to receive what God is speaking to us this morning. God, we need to hear from you. Bless your word. Bless your people to hear, to receive, not information, revelation, which leads to transformation. We bless you now, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me make sure I have everything that I need. Amen. So we are in John 6. Well, let's pick it up, John 6 and verse 24. So Jesus has just fed 5,000 people, as we put this in context. It says 5,000 and say 5,000 men. So we know it was more than 5,000 because it does not include the women and the children. But he's just fed 5,000, and the miracle of Jesus walking on water. He's walked across the water. He's at the other side. Now the other people are waking up, and they're trying to figure out, where did Jesus go? So we pick it up in verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, underline the people, all right? Because they're just people. And even when I was studying this, I was thinking about the rapture. And the people are going to realize the church is not there. The people are. But Jesus and the disciples were already gone. All right. So make sure you're a disciple, which means you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Make sure you're connected with Christ. It's a difference between believing in Christ, because the devils believe and they tremble. It's a difference between being a member of a church and being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the people are looking for Jesus. The disciples and Jesus are gone. Amen. That's going to be the rapture. People looking for you. Your disciple, we gone when the rapture happens. So make sure you understand the difference. The people are going to be looking. Jesus and disciples are gone. So when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, somebody say amen. Amen. Then they got on a ship, but see, it's going to be too late because we're raptured. There ain't no spaceship. We're going to be gone. They're not going to be able to get on a ship. It ain't going to happen like that. And came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. So it's a couple of things. Notice that his disciples were not looking for Jesus because they were with Jesus. You don't have to wonder where Jesus is because you're connected to Jesus. You know he's right there. People, where was God at when my died and when this died and that died and when this happened? He was the same place he was when his son died. He had to watch his son die too. He understands. He feels us. He was right there. And when you're connected to Christ, you know that he's right there. As tough as it is, you still know that he's right there. We have to go through trials and tribulations. He's right there because we're connected and we know. The people, they don't know. And they're looking. Make sure you're a disciple and not just a person in the crowd. So when we're connected, and that's daily, family, I can't reiterate enough. Every morning, fasting and praying, seeking God before you start your day. That's your connection to Christ. That's a disciple. That's what a disciple does. We spend time with God. Not because the pastor said so, but because God has all wisdom and knows all, and I need to tap into God's wisdom so I can discern and go about my day. Because I'm trying to keep it together myself. Somebody say amen. I'm going not on behalf of you all. It is good when your pastor goes to God so he can hear and have a message for you all. But I got to go because I'm trying to keep it together myself. Because I got to deal with all kind of stuff too, just like you do. We're all following Christ. Yes. We're disciples. Don't just be the people. And then the people, they noticed that the disciples were gone. So here's the other side of that coin. Does anybody know that you're a disciple of Christ? Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. One amen. Does anybody know that you follow Jesus? Yes. They say Jesus is gone and those that were connected with him are gone. Does anybody know that you're connected with Christ? Amen. Would they even notice that you've been with God? Is there enough evidence to show that you are connected to God? So I wrote this little thing. It says be followers of Christ. We all should be, and not just followers, but disciples. But I call us flawed followers. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yeah, we're flawed followers. But that flawed stands for something. Somebody, you know, Pastor, got to be a little clever with this. We are flawed because people think that we're perfect, but we're not. I'm a flawed follower of Christ. Really, what does that mean? That means I'm favored, I'm loved, I'm anointed, I'm a witness, I'm excited and delivered. Somebody say amen. I'm a flawed follower of Christ. Yeah, I'm flawed. We're all, let them be, embrace being flawed and then let them know what it means. Favored, loved, anointed, I'm a witness, excited and delivered. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm a flawed follower. I'm a disciple of Christ. And I hope you become one as well. Then the second thought that comes to mind is that they were seeking Jesus for the wrong reasons. So they got up, and remember, he had just fed 5,000. So they got up and they want something to eat. That's why they're trying to figure out where Jesus is. Somebody say amen. Come on now. I got to read this. They were seeking Jesus for material things that they could get. The temporary things in life, in this case, they were seeking Jesus for a meal only. You and I are forced to pause and examine our motives and heart to ask the hard question. Why am I seeking Jesus? Do I even care about my relationship with Christ, or am I just out to get stuff from Christ? Youth, it has it in here. Youth, do you have a relationship with Christ? Youth, we have to ask that question. You have to ask that question. And why do you want one? What would be your reason for wanting to be connected to Christ? So I can get a job, so I can get this, I can go to school. Come on, family. We all are seeking something. Family, you and I are seeking something like in Jesus' day, they were seeking something. You and I, we were created to seek and to follow and to worship something. Somebody say amen. Amen. Just it's in us. It appeals to our human nature. We are created to worship, so we have to worship something. Advertisers have done the research for us. You're like, Pastor, you don't have to believe, Pastor. The advertisers have done the research for us. They spent billions of dollars to get you to buy stuff and to do things you don't want to do and buy stuff you don't even need every day. Just watching TV and you see the advertisement comes on and now I got to go to Taco Bell and get a $5 fill up. I got to do something, right? Because I'm created to want something. So they see, they take advantage of that and they show you that that 50 cent Frosty at Wendy's. And you're passing Wendy's, you go, man, I don't know why, but I want a 50 cent Frosty, Jerry. And you go, because we're created to want, oh, here we go. We have to seek something. The advertisers know. The enemy knows. We are seeking God, a job. We're seeking a purpose, a connection, the need to belong, the need to identify with something, power, relevance. We're seeking meaning to this life, a relationship to get into, a relationship to get out of. Yes. Stuff, things, anything, something, we need something. God created us to worship and to connect with Him. If we get distracted, we will seek, search, and worship anything. The world throws up the smoke screen, the mirage, and we're seeking and searching, and we'll worship anything, family. So important for us to get out and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because when it comes down to it, it's either we're here and we're transitioning to heaven or hell, and that's it, and none of this stuff comes with us. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're talking in the men's meeting yesterday, and we're in Colossians 3. It says, seek God, seek the resurrected Christ, and then set your mind on things that are above, not on the earth. Seek and set, because this stuff is coming and going. We're getting some work done at the house, and I was telling Tracy, all we're doing is getting it ready for somebody else. Because eventually we're gone. In 100 years, we're all gone. No babies today. Viviana. She might make it to 103. Something like, what is she, four or five, four? In 100 years, we're all gone. Amen? That's why it's important to have Christ in our heart, because you're gone. Who's the youngest in here? Right, nice try, Mick Merlin. I see that. Is it Dominique at 16? She could make it to 116. She could. Jill, you could make it to 117. Somebody say, man, you could. I don't know why, but you could. Bottom line is, in 100 years, I don't know who's living in that house. Family, don't put too much stock in that. Amen. Only thing we take with us to heaven is other people. I have to put it in perspective. As I'm studying this, I gotta put it in perspective. I have to live this. So we're going to do what we can. It doesn't mean be irresponsible and lazy and trifling and scandalous. Somebody say amen. It doesn't mean that, because, you know, I'm leaving it anyway. No, that's not what the scripture's saying. That's not what God is saying. But it's saying you better set your affection on things that are above and not here on the earth. Mm-hmm. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else is added unto you. And when we're seeking God, we're seeking Him for the right reasons. Amen. So we pick it up at verse 25. When they had found Him on the other side, they said unto Him, Rabbi, how did you get here? Notice He didn't even answer that stupid question. It's okay to ask a question, but it's the motive behind the question, see? Their motives behind the question were all wrong. Jesus answered them and said, I'm telling you the truth, that verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, you seek me, you're coming after me, not because you saw the miracles, not because I'm God, not because I'm the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the true and living God. That's not why you're coming after me. You're coming after me just for stuff, and that's a problem. He didn't even answer their stupid question, Sister Hazel. How'd you get here? Man, shut up. I'm not going to answer that stupid question, because the motive behind it is wrong. He didn't even give it time of day. Some questions don't even give them time of day, because the motive is wrong. Ask for discernment. And you all can tell when people asking you questions and they don't really care about God. They're just trying to get you set up in some type of trap. Stick to the scriptures. Stick to the resurrection of Christ. It's the only thing that saves us. Jesus put them on blast. Amen, amen is what it verily says. Say unto you, you seeking me, you're coming after me, not because you saw the miracles, but just because you want to get into a college, or you want this job right now. Are you trying to get this business opportunity? It's a problem. I got a problem with that. But because you did eat the loaves and were filled, you only coming after me because you got a meal. Wow. Let me see if I got any read this. What's this? Verse 25. They wanted to know how Jesus had gotten to the other side. They didn't know that Jesus had walked on water to get to the other side, and Jesus didn't even tell them. Amen. That's a whole nother miracle for another time. And we can question Jesus, but just make sure we have the right motive. It's okay to ask God. They ask Jesus questions all the time, but with the right motive. It's not the question, it's the motive. Why didn't you tell us you were coming to the other side? We want something to eat. As opposed to, good morning, Jesus. Will you please give me wisdom today to help me guide my life? The enemy has set so many traps and snares to get me caught up today. Please give me wisdom and discernment to navigate today through the schemes and the tricks of the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy me. That's a big difference, family. Amen. That's a big difference for seeking God in the morning. Amen. God, I got this interview today and I need to. That's a big difference. What's the motive behind the question? What's the motive behind seeking God? When you and I pray and fast in the morning, I said, I'm going to say it again because it's repeated. It's not because a pastor told you to. You should be seeking God because you need direction for your life, just like I need direction for my life. We should be seeking God because he is the true and living God. And God's wisdom has been here since the beginning of time. So God, let me tap into your wisdom so I can use your wisdom as I'm trying to navigate daily. So personal, family. So personal. He said, you're not even seeking me because of the miracles. I mean, if they're going after the miracles, they're trying to find out, man, how did you do that? Man, are you really God? Miracles, supernatural signs that authenticate that God has sent someone. Let me say it again. Miracles are, and according to the Greeks, supernatural signs that authenticate that God has sent someone. They didn't even go, man, how did you? It was only a basket. It was two fish and five. How did you do? They're just saying, look, I need something more to eat. He said, you're not even seeking me because of the miracles that I did. Are you serious? That doesn't happen every day. Does every day you see somebody feed 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves of bread? He said, at least you could be asking me about that. He says, you're seeking me because I put food in your belly. I got this. I can't mess with Sister Kathy. So Sister Sherry says, read this. All right. Hey, you let her know I was thinking about her, okay? Says, family, the creature comforts and luxuries of life are a benefit of seeking God, not the reason to seek God. Let me say it again. Family, the creature comforts and luxuries of life are a benefit of seeking God, not the reason to seek God. Man, enjoy. Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes, enjoy everything that God has given you. Rejoice with your wife. Enjoy everything. Enjoy life. God's blessed you. That's the duty of man, to enjoy everything that God has given us. But that's not the reason we seek God. It's a big difference. Some people only want God for the stuff that God can provide. Then when things get tough or they get offended by someone inside or outside the church, you don't see them anymore because they only wanted the stuff God provides. Family, you and I have to want God because he is God Almighty, El Shaddai, the first, the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. Family, we have to want God and seek him to have a relationship with the true and living God. No strings attached. Because God is God and we're not. Because he created us and we didn't create him. Verse 27, he says, don't work. And this was a really good, is the word meet. It has a dual meaning, dual meaning. The first meaning for meat is the same one as used in Matthew 6 that says rust, right? Where it says don't store your stuff where thieves break in and steal, and rust does corrupt. This meal means rust. The other meaning for meat is the refreshing of your soul. Or literally it said in the Greek, soul food. Amen? All right, so after y'all church, go get you some soul food, amen? Come to church and get some soul food, and then afterwards go and get you some soul food. Amen? So when you read it like that, he says in verse 27, don't work for the corrosion which perish. Don't work for the rust which is going to pass away. But work for the refreshing of your soul, which endures, and the word endures means to abide and to be present in your current situation. All right? Endure. Abide and be present in your current situation. So don't work for the corrosion, which is going to pass away, but for the soul food, and when your present condition, which lasts to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give, underline give, because it is a gift, either you receive it or you don't, shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed, underline the word sealed. All right. Connect with God, not for temporary, but connect with God for eternal, amen, without beginning or without ending life. In verse 27, it talks about being sealed. It's the same word that it says that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So God has sealed Christ. The Father has sealed him. He's put a mark on him. He's authenticated him. A stamp, confirm, authentication code. Look at Ephesians. Who's that back there? Dominique, take us to Ephesians 1 and 13. So family, look at the connection. Christ has been sealed. We are sealed. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let me see. It says, in whom ye also trusted. It can't get away from trust. It's going to come back in this message as well. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you've been marked. When we accept Christ into our heart, we are sealed, we are marked, we are tattooed, we are stamped, we get our authentication code, and that we are born again believers. So that's why when we transition, we are already marked with the authentication code. We go right into paradise to be with Christ. Go to the next one, Dominique. Which is the earnest, or which is a down payment of our inheritance until redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So the seal is our down payment. It is our payday loan. It is our layaway. So you're on layaway. All right. And you all going to try and act like you don't know what layaway is. They put it up, and when you get enough, you come on back for it. That's old school for you youngsters. Go with my dad to the Dearden's downtown LA. Go to Dearden's furniture store. We got everything from Dearden's. Get the TV and put it on layaway. Dad, we taking the TV home? No, not yet, son. It's on layaway. What does that mean? It means it's going to lay away till we can pay. and then when you come back with the money, you take it. So God puts a seal on us and puts us on layaway. And then when we transition, we cashed in. It's going to cash us in later. We're sealed to do his work. We're on layaway. I guess until we get laid away. Right? That's the reality of it. We're on layaway till we get laid away. Then we transition right to be with the Lord. And that's a good thing. I mean, that's exciting stuff. I mean, like I said, we hope it's later than sooner. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's not if, it's when. Like I said, we still praying about the how. Remember that? Like, oh, you just sleep peacefully and just transition, got called in on layaway. Amen. Look at Ephesians. Dominique, take us to Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30, just turn a couple of pages. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Make a note, the Holy Spirit is a person. It's the third person of the Trinity, God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. We're talking about how the Holy Spirit lives in us now. It's inside of us. It's not outside of us. It's in us. Same power that God used to resurrect Christ from the dead is in us to live this life. It's a lot of power. We can't set it to the side. And that's why the word says right here, and grieve not. Don't stress it out. It's inside of you. It's a person. You will stress it out because you can't stress out a thing, right?
Right?
Or an inanimate object. It has to be a person. Somebody say amen. Wives say amen. Because you know you've been stressed out by us spouses. And y'all never stress us out. We love y'all. But we know that we stress y'all out because you're a person. Don't stress out the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day that you're cashed in. Same word in John 6:27, sealed, sealed, and sealed.
Amen.
Same word. Christ was sealed. He's in us. We're sealed through the Holy Spirit. Says, and because you are sealed and because we're waiting for Christ to come back. Verse 31, Dominique, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Why? Because we got the Holy Spirit in us. We have the power to live right, to speak right, to act right. In and of yourself, you don't have a chance. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But with God, verse 32. And be ye kind once, regardless of what's going on, family. I hope that you could never tell what's going on in my life by the way that I treat you. I hope I'm always kind to you all, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And regardless of what I'm going on in my, you will never know because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I'm not grieving the Holy Spirit. And I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. Should never be able to tell what's going on in your life by how you treat me. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And that's what we should be practicing every day. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's finish this up. Let's go back to John. John 6, let's go on back. Jesus is sealed. We're sealed. I'll read 27 again. Labor not for the corrosion which is going to pass away, but for the spiritual food which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give. It is a gift unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Still didn't get it. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What can we do that we can work for God? Work. What can we do to be employed or to do God's business? How can I work for God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. Underline, family, this is the business of God, that you trust on whom he hath sent. Because if you can't trust God that he sent Jesus, then you can't do nothing for God. You're not paying your tithes because you don't trust God. You're not witnessing because you don't even believe that God sent him. You're not going to talk to nobody about it. You're not going to do anything of any significance because you don't trust God. You're not going to take a step of faith. You're not going to pray in the morning. You're not going to listen to God's voice because you don't even trust him. If he told you, you wouldn't do it anyway because you don't trust him. Jesus said the first thing that you have to do, this is a walk by faith, faith being trust, surrender, submit to God. Otherwise, it does not work. That's what the word says. Amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's an abnormal relationship. We've already talked about it. I can't say it again, but I'm going to say it again. You're just dating someone. And they say, you know, I don't know if I could trust you. You stop the relationship right there. Why are we even going any further? So how about we hang out? Yeah, but I don't really trust you. Okay. You gonna call me? No, this is over. How are we gonna have a relationship and there's no trust? That's what Jesus is saying right here. Ladies, as you're looking to date someone, if you don't trust them, why are you wasting your time? Guys, why are you wasting your time? It's not gonna work. It's weird. Jesus, and they didn't get it. Jesus told them, look, you gotta trust God that he sent me. Verse 30, look what they said. They said, therefore, unto him, what sign are you going to show us then? Were you with me yesterday when I fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves? You're still looking for a sign? In other words, they're saying, okay, well, give us some food. That's what they really said. Hey, so give me some bread then. Give me some bread right now. Are you serious? They said, therefore, unto him, okay, give us some bread. And look what they said, that we may see and believe. What doest thou work? Oh, so I got to give y'all some more bread right now? And then look what they told him. They said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. I almost got that mixed up because, you know, dessert has 2 S's. So you can read it wrong, Sister Cheryl. You can read it like, our fathers did eat manna and dessert. As it is written, no, that's not what it's saying. Okay, it's saying our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from the heaven to eat. They still stuck on food. They still trying to get something from God. Give us something to show us that you're God. Feed me right now and show me that you're God. Regardless of what you said, I'm not listening. I want you to give me something to eat. If you don't give me some stuff, you're not God. It's the problem with the prosperity movement. I heard a pastor tell him, you drive a Volkswagen because you got Volkswagen faith. I drive a Rolls Royce because I got a Rolls Royce faith. See, God blesses me with stuff to show that I'm so godly. That's a problem. Because Jesus said, don't work for stuff, work for God and trust God. You might have a Volkswagen just because that's all I got right now. It has nothing to do with my relationship with God. I'm thankful for the transportation I do have. If I have a skateboard, a scooter, a bike, or the bus, somebody say amen. And Uber's changed the game. You don't even need a car. Just Uber yourself wherever you need to go. Look what they said in verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And I love Jesus checked them right there. Then Jesus said unto them, I'm telling you, amen, amen. Most assuredly, I say unto you, Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven. Ha! Moses ain't gave you nothing. But my father give you the true bread from heaven. Moses ain't did nothing but what God did through him. They're talking about Moses, what Moses gave you guys. My father gives the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They're missing the point. They're trying to get stuff. And Jesus is saying the spiritual food of God is which cometh down from heaven and gives Zoe life. Not nutrition, not health, not strength, although we should eat right. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about life and that more abundantly. He's talking about Zoe. Real, genuine life. Blessed, eternal life is what he's talking about, not stuff. My Father's given you true bread from heaven. And look what he says in verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down, which is Christ, from heaven, and gives us life, a blessed life, unto the world. And the world translated there is the orderly system of deception. So God is saying, in the midst of this whole jacked up, fallen thing, Christ comes down and gives us true life, not to be caught up in the orderly system of deception. Somebody say amen. In the midst of all this corruption and everything else that's going on, Jesus said, I'm coming to give you life in the middle of it. Verse 34, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, you shall never lack. And he that believeth on me shall never be dehydrated spiritually. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, shall never lack. And he that believeth on me shall never be spiritually dehydrated. And that's where we'll pick it up next week. If you will, we'll just bow our heads and we'll close out in prayer. And if just a worship song, that bread of life, God, Jesus. John, if you and the team could do Yahweh and just the faithful God, the bread of life. God, oh, thank you for helping us put our life back in perspective. My God, this world is attacking from every side. God says, pause. Focus on the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. Examine why we're following Christ. Is it for stuff or is it for the eternal life that Christ has given us? We love you, Lord, that you're a faithful God. You've given us life and that more abundantly. So as we worship in our hearts and with our mouths, we just want to say thank you for putting our life back in perspective through your word. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.